This time on episode 198 of Legends of S.H.I.E.L.D., Iron Fist, the blessings of many fractures, and a small bit of weekly Marvel news.
I'm John from Game Life Balance US, a proud member of the Gunna Geek Network, just like the one you're listening to now. The opinions expressed are those of each individual. Check out all the other geeky podcasts at GunnaGeekNetwork.com. And get ready, because geekiness commences in 3, 2, 1.
You have been granted clearance by Director Phil Coulson. Stand by for S.H.I.E.L.D. debriefing. All information to be discussed here is classified and may only be discussed among agents granted clearance by the S.H.I.E.L.D. director.
Now it's time for your scheduled debriefing. I'm Director Stargate Pioneer.
I'm Agent Haley.
And I'm Agent 2099.
Welcome to Legends of S.H.I.E.L.D. We're a Marvel Comic Universe fan show. This show is recorded on Sunday, September 3rd, 2017, live from the Legends of S.H.I.E.L.D. studios and broadcast worldwide via www.geeks.live. Happy U.S. Bowling League Day, guys!
Get a ball!
The only professional sport you can do while smoking and drinking.
Not in a lot of states anymore. Can't smoke.
But you could. Back in the 70s, there were pro athletes.
Probably with a cigarette in their mouth as they went up.
Yeah. It was great.
That's not true. Pool. You can do that while smoking and drinking.
Oh, pool. Yeah, pool as well. So there's two of them.
Legends of S.H.I.E.L.D. does not condone smoking, kids.
But we do condone drinking, kids.
Except for me. I give it up. I'm too good at it.
If you're of age, yeah. Okay. Legends of S.H.I.E.L.D. is a fan-based podcast on the ABC television show Marvel's Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D., Marvel's Defenders on Netflix, Legion on FX, the Marvel Cinematic Universe, and the Marvel Comic Universe in general.
Because of Calloused Knuckles.
If you'd like to talk to us about Calloused Knuckles, you can visit our website, legendsofshield.com.
We have a voicemail number that you can call and leave a voicemail about your knuckles at 844-THE-BUS-1 or 844-843-2871.
Or if you'd like to share photos of the Calloused Knuckles with the ladies of Legends of S.H.I.E.L.D., you can find them on the Facebook Legends of S.H.I.E.L.D. podcast.
You can hit us all up on Twitter, at Legends of S.H.I.E.L.D.
You like to leave a comment about hairy knuckles? You can do so at our YouTube channel at youtube.com/GunnaGeek.
And for all your hairy knuckles, we hope the Legends of S.H.I.E.L.D. is a proud member of the GunnaGeek.com network.
Welcome back, Anthony. Agent 2099 is in the house, subbing in for Lauren on vacation. Welcome back, Agent 2099.
Thank you. Happy to be here. How did it become hairy knuckles?
I don't know. I was just thinking.
His mom always told them that he didn't have hair on his hands.
All right. I see where this is going. So I'm going to do what Chris does on All Things Good and Nerdy and push the bump number. We're talking Iron Fist, the blessing of many fractures. And once again, Agent 2099 has come through with an explanation about the title.
Indeed, many fractures is a reference to strengthening of the body in martial arts. That's the reason if I kicked somebody in the network shin to shin, more than likely they would fall down and cry and I wouldn't, is because I did 2 years in Taekwondo. And so I've had my shin struck repeatedly over and over and over again. Doing that to your body, not to the point of like shin splints or actual hairline fractures, but slight bits of damage building up over time actually strengthen your bone and the ability to take damage to them. So in martial arts, there's something called a Makawara board, which a lot of people in the classic styles, including my original school, Sibukai Shorinryu, you would line up against a wall with a board wrapped in, I think it was a rice-made rope. And you would literally walk up to it and punch your knuckles into the board repeatedly. And it was done in a way to where if you hit it lightly, your hand would bounce off and it really hurt a lot. But you also weren't trying to break the board, but by repeatedly striking it with just an almost perfect punch technique, you would build up the strength of your punches. Bruce Lee, this was something he was really into back in the early 70s. If you look at photos of him, he had these giant calluses on his knuckles. We're talking half an inch tall. And it was before he really got into the more mental aspect of the thinking process of all the stuff he discovered, learned, and then taught about in martial arts, where if you look at like Enter the Dragon and the later movies and stuff, there's almost nothing on his hands because he let the calluses fade away. But I've seen some photos of him, and I think it's the early 70s, and yeah, he's got like half inch thick calluses on his knuckles because he built them up. To, you know, because he thought at the time that was the general thinking, was that you needed to build up calluses so that your strikes were more powerful.
So by repeatedly pressing play and watching episodes of Iron Fist, you build up calluses to watch subpar yes. Marvel Netflix shows.
Exactly. Repeated pain makes you tougher.
I see.
So season two won't hurt as bad.
Actually, this episode, parts of it weren't entirely bad, and that is because of the creative team behind it, including the director, Haley.
I don't know that that's the reason. I think the reason might be because this one had more Claire and Colleen, but this episode was directed by Kevin Tankeron, who was smart enough to include Claire and Colleen. We've talked about him before. He has 8 episodes of Dance Life, Fame from 2009, the 18 episodes of Mortal Kombat Rebirth, 1 episode of Supergirl, 2 episodes of The Flash, 1 episode of 12 Monkeys, 9 episodes of Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. He's got some Marvel credit already. 2 episodes of Prison Break, 2 of Legends of Tomorrow, 1 of Inhumans, we'll see, I guess, 3 of Arrow, and 1 of Iron Fist.
Yes, yeah, so Kevin is the brother of Marissa Tankeron, who is one of the showrunners for Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. And also, talking about Inhumans, this was the weekend that it came out on IMAX. They were expecting $2.3 million. Did either of you two go and see it?
No.
No. And I saw photos. Somebody took an image of an IMAX theater 4 minutes before starting, and the only people sitting in it were his girlfriend. The entire IMAX theater was empty.
I saw some people talking about it, and it's getting about the reviews that we expected it would.
Nice to know. Nice to know. I have not had time to go do that because I've been playing Car Mechanic all weekend. Yeah, so
I'm not going to spend money to see this at IMAX.
Yeah.
Okay. So, Anthony, who writ this episode of Iron Fist? Yes, I did say writ.
Writ. This episode was writ by Tamara Betcher Wilkinson, a.k.a. Tamara Betcher. She has 7 credits since 2008, a host of story editor and script coordinators to include Buffy the Vampire Slayer. She was on 1 episode of Warehouse 13, 6 episodes of Covert Affairs, 1 episode of The Runaways. Is that the new Runaways, the one that's coming out?
That is correct.
Or is that the old Runaways?
No, that is the new one coming up, yeah.
Okay, so she's crossing, doing multiple Marvel projects. Cool. And then 2 episodes of Iron Fist, this one, The Blessings of Many Fractures, and also Dragon Plays with Fire, which, if I remember from what I just looked at, is the first episode of season 2. So she's apparently writing the first one of the new one. And she was also a producer for Covert Affairs and Iron Fist.
All right, so we have a solid creative team, and as Haley mentioned, a solid group of ladies on the show. So we're expecting great things. Let's get into it. At the end of the episode, we'll just go right to the end. Danny decides to kidnap Madame Gao. This is kind of something that was building throughout the episode. And I don't know about you guys, but if I'm going to kidnap Madame Gao, I'm going to expect it to go great from the original decision on, right?
I'm going to go in with an actual plan.
Yeah, we've come to expect Danny to make really dumb decisions by this point in the series. So
this was another great, and this is after Claire is really hammering him basically the entire episode. So, Danny, what are you going to do when you find out that Gao did kill your parents? What's going to happen with that? I mean, eye for an eye sort of thing. And then Colleen got in there. Colleen's really on Danny's side. Claire's, they're like the two devil and angels on Danny's shoulders. Yeah.
Well, and yeah, and all the back and forth seemed to try to focus on whether or not he would kill Gao if he felt he needed to, But what we ended up really getting was two women going, what's your plan? What are you going to do? And Danny going, I don't know. It's a long flight to China. I'll figure it out on the way. But of course, he spends the entire flight going, I'm really, really scared of planes. I forgot. And just gripping his seat.
This has worked out well before. I mean, the last Starfighter, they came up with a plan before they got to the frontier, didn't they?
What's that? The frontier.
The frontier. Worked out really, really well. So we have some precedents within the film industry on what's going to happen here. Another thing we have to talk about in this episode is we're finally getting some really quality fights. I mean, these were well choreographed. You could still see some of the quick cuts back and forth, but really, this is the type of fighting that I would expect from this level of Marvel superhero show.
Well, and it's episode 8, right? So yeah, we're at least, you know, a good 8 months at this point into Finn Jones's training. So he was getting better at this point. He does start looking a little better on film. And then one of the biggest things for any fight choreographer is that it's the two people you have in the scene. And his big fight opponent in the scene is Louis Tan, the guy who a lot of people were pressing to try to be Iron Fist because they wanted to see an Asian actor play the Iron Fist. And Louis Tan is fantastic on film. He is a gorgeous fighter. And he does drunken style. And he does the best version of drunken style I've seen since Jackie Chan. Like, this is a really good version of drunken style because it's a hard martial art to see people pull off and make it look like they're not just actually falling down drunk.
I was wondering how much liquid actually was in that vase or whatever he was drinking out of, because it seemed like he was drinking an awful... At some point, you're going to run out of alcohol in the container you're drinking it from.
I think that's something they play with in all those.
No, Magic Kun Lun container.
There you go. Yeah.
Magic Kun.
I think that's something they play with in all the Drunken Master movies and stuff, is that if there's liquid in it, it's only going to have liquid in it when they're about to break it, because those gourds are always getting broken. But other than that, they're just acting like they're drinking. Because, yeah, he was swinging that thing around and smacking Danny in the head with it like 16 times, and it never broke until they threw it at a wall.
And he also threw one at his head.
Yeah, he cracked a couple on him. But, yeah, I mean, if he had drank all of it, it'd just be empty. But, yeah, then it wouldn't hurt. But it looked like it hurt.
I think it's going to hurt with or without liquid in there.
With liquid, it hurt more. It'd add to the propulsion as it came towards you.
Yeah,
because force equals mass times acceleration. More mass.
No.
Not that much mass. If anything, it might act...
It all depends how much you drink.
It might act as a shock absorber for the other wall as it's coming in. Anyway. So another fight that happened was the women sword fighting, which was great to see ninja sword fighting in China on screen here. And we searched and searched and we looked for who she was fighting. It's not anywhere in the credits for this episode or for the series that we found, but we did find that Jessica Henwick's stunt double is Tamiko Brownlee, who incidentally is also Katrina Law's stunt double over on Arrow, and a host of other credits. So I'm not sure, judging by her picture, that she was the one that Jessica was fighting here, but it would stand to reason that it might be her with some makeup and a wig or something like that. I mean, stunt women don't know anything about wearing wigs, do they?
Well, and plus it was another style versus style. With the Iron Fist using different styles to fight the Drunken Master, we got Colleen using Japanese Bushido for katana technique versus a Wushu fighter, because that lady was using a Chinese sword and then using, I believe it was Wushu techniques. But yeah, did you notice at the end of the fight with Louis Tan, when Danny hits him with the two fists and puts him through the wall, he actually does the swinging hand movement? It's a drunken fist technique that he hits Louis Tan with to win the fight.
Mm.
So he actually switches to his opponent's style to beat him.
I see. Maybe he's learning on the job.
A little bit. I think it also, they could have made that a little more obvious, because it's literally the last move he does. And unless you're looking at his hands and you've maybe watched a lot of Drunken Fist, you probably wouldn't even notice it. So they didn't really make a big deal out of it, which I think they should have, because this is a character who's supposed to know every martial art on the planet.
Still, it was pretty good. I mean, it was entertaining for me as I'm watching the episode.
Oh, yeah, it was good.
A little bit more entertaining than, oh, I can't believe I saw the cut right there, or they've Michael Bay this fight. Oh my gosh, you can't even tell what's going on. So yeah, there was that.
Yeah, it was longer than 30 seconds, and I'm not sure if there was more than 60 cuts. So yeah, it is improving.
I also think that Rocket was involved, you know, Rocket the Raccoon was involved in this episode, because the plane that they're flying over is the same plane on the interior that they flew over 15 years ago. So I think Rocket was involved. He found everything and he used his little fix-it gun and just put the original plane back together. That's
No. The Rand Corporation bought two of those planes, you know, 15 years ago, and one of them got crashed and blowed up. And now this is just the other one still there.
Yeah, on the same flight path to the same city. Hey, Danny, take the same plane. It won't freak you out at all. Really? Like a downer? A Prozac? Something? Anything to let the guy calm down just a little bit?
There's so much about this. I don't even know where to start, because he's headed over there and he was just legally declared alive. How the heck does he have a passport to get into the country?
That's a private jet. Isn't that the whole point of being a billionaire? Is you can just do whatever you want, whenever you want. You don't have to pay attention to laws.
I don't think the Chinese really would like that. I think they are a little bit conscientious about border control.
I don't think they went through customs.
All right.
And their black pseudo ninja outfits.
What you're saying is the Rand Corporation jet pilots are adept at smuggling things.
Well, since they work for the Hand, yeah.
And if they work for the Hand, Danny,
is supposed to kill
thinking,
him.
Well, isn't he thinking that, oh, maybe they might tell Madame Gao we're in town?
Maybe. He doesn't really seem to think ahead too much. It was also funny, his multiple assurances that I spent 15 years learning how to control my body and my mind and my emotions. And he spends the entire episode up until the last moment with the fight with Gao being completely out of control and not be able to control himself. He couldn't even use a meditation breathing technique to get through the flight. He had to have Claire talk him through it.
Remember, he's really crappy at this whole being the Iron Fist thing.
Yeah, yes.
Well, Claire's really good at stunt driving.
Yeah.
Haley, how'd you like that with the SUV going through the doors and everything?
It's cool. I mean, what's not to like about, you know, smashing a car through a building?
Especially a rental, because they're the most disposable vehicles on the planet.
That's right. You get the $2 insurance. And
I was laughing at it as well, because she busts through all that, and the only thing that's wrong with it, you know, the hood's fine, the bumper's fine, headlights are fine, but that windshield is smashed to crap.
Well, didn't the windshield get smashed? Didn't she hit the lady with the sword? Because I thought she snuck up during Colleen's fight and hit somebody with the car outside as well.
No, she didn't. She got out of the car and took Colleen's sword and threw the sword at Colleen so she could fight back with the sword again. Because she had lost her sword in the fight. Okay. Yeah, so there was...
I'm misremembering that scene.
Yeah, and I don't think Claire is one to hit anybody with a car anyway. That would go against her medical methods.
Yeah, it would seem to. She also didn't know if there was anybody behind that wall that she drove through.
I mean, well... It's a building, you know, who cares? You're only hitting a building. You're not hitting anybody behind it. But true. How did she know?
Could have been kidnapped school children right behind that wall.
Maybe she's got x-ray vision. That would be so cool for a nurse to have x-ray vision. There's all sorts of medical diagnosis you can make with x-ray vision.
As useful as that would be for the night nurse character, I'm surprised if that hasn't actually already happened in Marvel Comics at some point.
How sure are you that it hasn't?
SP comes up with a good one every once in a while. Copyright Legends of S.H.I.E.L.D. 2017. All right.
When Claire meets Deathlok, he'll hook her up with like a bionic eye that has x-ray vision.
Nice.
It's all connected.
Nice. Wait, you see? And you need Haley for the story. So there you go. That's copyrighted. Legends of S.H.I.E.L.D. 2017. Haley. We find out that Gao did indeed poison the pilots, which I can't believe I didn't catch on to earlier, because the pilots had that black stuff in their veins, whatever, when we had seen them in the flashbacks before. And I just didn't equate that to the fact that they were poisoned. I thought they were frozen from falling from the sky and then landing in the side of a mountain.
I think that's what I thought too. And I don't remember in the original flashbacks how much they really showed the pilots.
Yeah, well, it's not worth going back to watch it for me, so I'm not going to do that. But
if somebody else wants to, just like send us an email or something, let us know.
Yeah, I think they just focused on them more during this flashback to show that the pilots were indeed poisoned.
Well, somebody else that's being poisoned is Ward, his mind. You know, he snapped last episode. We talked about that. But there's like a three-way fight going on between Ward and Joy and Lawrence with control of the company and what's going on with everything, with the complication that Ward's got a few extracurricular activities going on as well. But it was interesting to find out that Joy had hired Jessica Jones.
When you need information, you hire the world's greatest drunk PTSD damaged detective ex superhero.
I'm kind of surprised
that
Jessica Jones is the PI that Joy would have hired. Like, I feel like Joy would have had somebody a little slicker.
Apparently, she's known when she's not drinking to do an awesome job. So,
have we ever seen her not drinking?
No.
Yeah, not in the show yet. But also, she knows J Money.
It's true.
And in those circles of that lawyer, that law firm had always used Jessica Jones.
Yeah, that's true. She probably went to J Money and was like, hey, I need to get dirt on the board. And J Money was like, I got this. And sent Jessica.
J Money!
Yeah. So yeah, J Money might have informed her that this is the best detective money can buy when she's sober. So Joy may have never even met Jessica. She just got the results because of who got hired.
Mm. And remember, we don't do that. We don't do the hugging thing.
We
don't do that. So I mentioned it before. Ward is dealing with some
PTSD.
PTSD. Shell shock.
He's dealing with some shell shock right now. And he's envisioning, and I don't know if it's the drugs or his mind, but he's envisioning blood everywhere. So it's got a Shakespearean element to it as well.
He's got all the drugs, and then you add some trauma on top of that, and the fact that he probably has always had some issues, and yeah, you get, you know, hallucinations and stuff. He's probably not sleeping.
I haven't seen him sleep at all.
Well, yeah, the coke helps with that.
Yeah, and let's walk back a second here. What makes Ward, who is terrible at embezzling, think he's good at murdering family members?
He got rid of two other bodies for dad and didn't get caught, so...
But he didn't murder him. He just got rid of the bodies.
He only had one person that really, you know, that drove him to the point of wanting to murder them, so...
Yet.
Yeah, true. Yet.
So far.
All right, so Ward is trying to make this back deal with Lawrence and says, look, I'll give you everything that you need. Just give me $30 million. I'll give you $500,000 for your time and effort. And then I'll be on my way. I'll be out of your hair forever. Lawrence is like, I can't believe that you turned out this way. Your father wouldn't be that pleased. Of course, Ward just killed his father. And and he's got this thing going against Joy. And Joy has gone behind his back and basically said no deal because she's got the pictures from Jessica. So there's all sorts of play going on in between. And to be honest with you, I don't care. This is supposed to be an important corporate espionage thing that I don't have any interest in whatsoever.
Yeah, really, I feel like you could have dropped the Meachums entirely from this season and it would have been a better show for it.
And just had maybe the board against Danny?
Once they got Danny in, yeah. It definitely could have been something where they just went away and became background characters. It was funny to hear Lawrence's speech against Ward, though, because it was the more, I'm not mad, I'm disappointed, parental speech of the Meachums fighting against each other. Like, that was just funny.
Yeah, Lawrence, I saw some of your pictures from Jessica Jones. I'm disappointed in you.
None of them are good people. Not a one of them.
It didn't take him long at all to move into Danny's office. They haven't even done anything with Danny yet, and he's already in his office.
Danny doesn't even know he's fired yet, and the dude already has his golf clubs in there and a putting green.
His little model of the jet on the table there and the desk there. Yeah, he's all... Wow, I was impressed. It took me a little bit to figure out that that was Danny's office, and it was the couches, the white couches that Danny was meditating on earlier. That gave it away. I'm like, oh, that's Danny's office. Because you don't know how many offices are really up there. And let's move back a second. When Danny was not there after his father died for that 15 years. So that office was just there the entire time?
I think it just wasn't being used.
Really? On a major corporation, you have that much square footage on the top floor and it's not being used.
That's how they were playing it off.
No, I mean, what happens a lot of times with these buildings is like one company owns the building and then they lease out space on the floors that they don't need.
Yeah, but this is on the executive level of Rand.
I don't know. Maybe somebody was paying a lot to rent that space.
Okay.
It would be weird, but it's possible.
Yeah.
That's just where the secretary kept all the goodies.
That's where they were storing the whole document box that had just an old ID badge in it.
Yeah, that was so sad. Everything my dad worked on, things get lost.
I forgot to mention it, but that was just really dumb. Like, why would they even bother to keep an old ID badge? That seems like something you would just shred. Also, yeah. Why would you keep it in an envelope in a box? Just on its own.
Just to make Danny cry.
But he's dead. I mean, they're not thinking he's going to ever come back.
Yeah, it's inefficient storing, and it's also something you don't ever need again, ever. Whatever.
They need a technical advisor. That's what I'm saying. Someone to walk up on set and go, this whole scene is stupid. Lose it!
This is dumb, and you're dumb for doing it.
Yeah, a lot of dialogue that I don't think was very necessary. I mean, I was thinking back to the original Daredevil season 2. There was a lot of episodes where you just had dialogue back and forth. As a matter of fact, there was one episode where he was stuck in that building, was just entirely dialogue. But that played off well. These dialogues are like, oh, come on, I wish I could fast forward. I wish Netflix had a fast forward option. Because it's like, I can't believe I'm sitting here watching this. So, yeah. But the fights were pretty cool, and the fact that where we're at the end is pretty cool to go forward. And with 5 episodes left, I'm looking forward.
Yeah, I think there's 13. Yeah.
Looking forward to getting rid of this series and moving on to Defenders, honestly, at this point. But that's just me. I mean, if I had watched it when it came out.
Defenders is so good.
Yeah. But if I had watched it when it came out, I wouldn't have Defenders to look forward to. Except for months and months in the future, I don't know if I would have mainlined this in a weekend. I would have watched here and there getting ready for the Defenders, but I wouldn't have watched it all at once. It's
like ripping off a Band-Aid. You got to just get it done.
Yeah, I think I watched it over a Friday and Saturday the first time.
Yep, so did I.
Well, the next time we'll be talking about the Mistress of All Agonies. And that's episode 8, actually, so there are 6 episodes left. And that will be what we're talking about. So if you have any thoughts, listener, about Iron Fist, the series in general, or the specific episode that we just talked about, The Blessing of Many Fractures, or episode 9, The Mistress of All Agonies, please let us know at any of our contact information. And also, we need to talk a little bit about the fact that we are part of this great network called the GunnaGeek.com network. And there are a plethora of other podcasts on the network. There is actually a couple that talk about podcasting. So if you're interested to hear about podcasting, of course, there's Better Podcasting, but there's also this new podcast called Undaunted, which interviews a podcaster about what it has been their journey in podcasting. And Amos, who's the one who runs the podcast, his goal is to make you cry. That's what it all is. He's asking about your childhood and your history. No. He's not doing that, but he's asking how you've succeeded, how you failed, and just the really nitty gritty behind podcasting. And in his latest episode, he interviewed Daniel J. Lewis, who's a podcasting legend from Audacity to Podcast. And Daniel J. Lewis joined Amos to talk about what podcasters think they are doing wrong. Every podcaster has something to learn from Daniel, even if they followed him throughout his 10 plus years on the microphone. Once again, that is the Undaunted podcast, which you can find at getageek.com. We have just a little bit of news this week, don't we, Haley?
Yep, a little bit of casting news for the new show, New Warriors, that's coming out soon.
The show that I'm still not sure I'm happy about.
I don't remember which one this is. There's so many new shows coming out.
New Warriors in the comics is Dwayne Taylor, Night Thrasher, puts together a team of six teenagers who have never been on teams other than Firestar, and they decide to be proactive heroes instead of waiting for events to happen. They go out basically looking for trouble, and because they're young and crazy, and it's an awesome team. It's Night Thrasher, Marvel Boy, Firestar, Namorita, Namor's niece, Speedball, and the original Nova, Richard Rider. The show is the Squirrel Girl vehicle that has two members on the team that are Great Lakes Avengers, Squirrel Girl and the Immortal Man, which is one of the reasons I am not happy about it. Also, the show is being listed as a comedy on Freeform, and they're saying that it's basically going to be the far end of the spectrum from the Avengers. So they're kind of going to turn the team into bumbling fools and make that the point of the comedy, which is also, I think, going to be the biggest problem with the show. But it might still be funny, and I might still get a good version of Speedball on screen. So my fingers are crossed. And I'm stoked to see that they are adding Keith David is joining the show, who we looked at his IMDb today, and yeah, the guy's been working solidly for almost 40 years. His nerd cred is insane. Rick and Morty, Adventure Time, Mass Effect 3, Mr. Robot, Community, They Live, Seventh Heaven, Greenleaf. The third project he ever worked on was John Carpenter's The Thing. The guy has been around for a long time, done a lot of great stuff, and I also happen to love him as the leader of the Carnival of Crime on NBC's The Cape, which I own on DVD, and it was fun. I don't care how many people hate that show.
Do you own it on DVD just to throw it in the fire at some point?
I had fun when I watched that show, too.
I have a list on Amazon that is DVD, or it's a movies and television shows based on comic books that I don't own yet, and I watch them, and when they go on sale, I do orders of them. And so in one order, I got the box set of The Cape, the full box set of the Birds of Prey season from the CW, and Stripperella. And I believe I paid, it was $9.70 for all three. So get them on sale. It's worth it. But yeah, so Keith David is joining the cast as a public worker that's going to bump up into, how do they put it, a caustic municipal employee who bumps up against the hopeful energy of the New Warriors. So more than likely, he's going to be somebody that works for the city, dealing with the New Warriors going out and causing trouble. So yeah, as much as I'm afraid of this show and the fact that they're basically taking the name of a title of a book that I absolutely love and just using it to make a Squirrel Girl TV show, I love the actress that's going to play Squirrel Girl, so like, I'm torn. I'm very torn. I want the show to be good, but I also don't want them to make some of my favorite characters the actual butt of the jokes. And in the listings of the episodes, like, they literally have some of their powers wrong. So I'm hoping that the information that's coming out isn't all right and that the show is better than it appears it's going to be. Or it's going to be the next Inhumans, and no one's going to watch it.
It might not be that they have their powers wrong, as they changed them a little bit to make it more doable for a TV budget or something like that. That's something that's happened in the past.
That's possible, but with Speedball, they literally don't have his power correct. They say that he shoots kinetic balls out. That's
part of the problem is they kind of gave his power to Negasonic Teenage Warhead in Deadpool.
No, she creates explosions. He doesn't create explosions. He just can't be hurt. And so when you hit him, he bounces around, which they could do that on TV with the same effect they use for the Flash by just doing a color stream that moves fast. So, I mean, I would think it would be somewhat doable. But yeah, he's invulnerable because of a kinetic field around him. But yeah, he doesn't, because yeah, like Negasonic, she actually explodes. His ability has been used to do that, but only with somebody else helping him. Unless you were to look at, like, the Penance version of him. Because Penance, yeah, he actually has explosions.
Well, yeah, she had explosions, but, you know, she also had the kinetic energy thing where she, like, smashed into stuff, too.
She did shoot herself around with it as well. But yeah, no, it's just when I read the first write-up and they listed the powers, I was like, okay, they turned down debris and made her power a little less powerful, which makes sense if you're going to be, the idea being that the Avengers are one end of the spectrum and now the New Warriors are on the far end of the other spectrum and all their powers are weak. But then, yeah, like Microbe, his still makes sense because he talks to microorganisms. that's just fine. But yeah, the idea, yeah, just what the write-up for Robbie Baldwin, it scared me. And also, it was awful because I read it on the article about it, and then I checked Marvel.com to actually look to see how they had it written. There isn't even a profile for Speedball on Marvel.com. They're putting this character in a TV show. He was a Steve Ditko character created right after Spider-Man. He's been in the company for 50 years. He's been on 5 different volumes of the New Warriors. He was part of the reason for Civil War. He became Penance. He took down Dr. Doom by himself. You know, he's had all these books, and he doesn't even have a profile on their main webpage. Like, that's just sad.
Well, we've mentioned before that we think that Marvel has spread themselves a little too thin with everything that's going on the small screen. And even if it's productions that they don't control, that they don't own, we've seen them not support that.
Yeah.
And take a look at Fantastic Four, no longer exists. The X-Men they've been trying to phase out the X-Men, which are hot selling books still today because they don't have the film rights, and they've been trying to flux with the Inhumans, which is just turning out to be a miserable failure, at least so far. So I think
the problem there was they had one Fantastic Four book to cancel and 13 running X books. It was a lot harder to try to actually get rid of the X-Men.
It was. They had the perfect opportunity with the X-Men versus Inhumans, and we've seen how that has turned out, where you've got X number of books out there again. You've got the blue and the gold, and you've got all the individual characters like Iceman, Jean, stuff like that.
And 9 Wolverines!
Cable, and yeah, so there's, you know, All New Wolverine is still an amazing book even now, and it's probably the gem out of all of them, really, but
that's when I'll have to go back and read, because I had to drop Old Man Logan because I don't like the way Jeff Lemire writes superheroes.
Yeah, Lauren has been enjoying Old Man Logan on Legends of S.H.I.E.L.D. Long Box Edition, so my hat is off to her for continuing to read that book and enjoy it. I have definitely... I was not ready to let go of Logan and take on X-23 with All New Wolverine, but it's turned out to be a good run so far, so... Yeah, it's been good. You got to go into it for fun in mind. It's fun, even though there's dark things. It's a fun book. It's not a dark and brooding sort of book. All right. Well, that's it for the news for this time. And really appreciate you guys doing that. We are going, I guess we're decided to use a portal gun and portal this way out. Thank you, Agent 2099, for crossing the bridge from ATGN and Legends of S.H.I.E.L.D. Long Box Edition to join us again in Lauren's absence to talk Iron Fist.
Happy to do it.
And thank you very much to all of our listeners for continuing to download and listen to this show and talk to us about what we're covering, Legion and now Iron Fist, on our way to the Defenders and Inhumans, and then Punisher and Thor Ragnarok, and then we get Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. So it's going to be a great fall. Thank you for taking this journey with us.
And thank you to everybody that sends us feedback, or if you're thinking about sending us feedback, we really appreciate hearing your thoughts on things. Lauren should be back from vacation soon, and I assume she will get back to some live tweeting, so watch our Twitter feed to see if or when that's going to start back up.
Yeah, that will be after September. If you're listening to this later, it doesn't really matter. But if you wait until after September 11th, she should be back at that point in time. So we're looking forward to seeing Agent Lauren back in the saddle. All right, until next time, I'm Director Stargate Pioneer.
I'm Agent Haley.
And I'm Agent 2099.
We'll see you guys next time. Bye.
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 Thank you for listening. If you want to leave us feedback, go to gunnageek.com and you will find all our contact information and other shows. You can also visit legendsofshield.com where you'll find our complete archive of podcasts. The music heard on this podcast is by Kevin MacLeod, found at incompetech.com, and also artists on pond5.com and audiojungle.net. The opinions heard on this podcast are those of the individual hosts and do not represent Stargate Pioneer Productions, Legends of S.H.I.E.L.D., or Gunna Geek. Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. is the property of the Disney Corporation, Marvel Studios, and ABC. No infringement is intended.
Even pay attention when the animatronics are moving. They're just staring at iPhones or iPads while they're there eating. So they're removing the stage and the animatronics and all the Chuck E. Cheese's that are staying open. And then they're putting up the one they showed, like the kitchen was open so you could see the pizzas being made. It had the big eating area. And then up above it was four screens, like a Titantron at a stadium, to where whatever music or whatever they want to play or whatever will just be on big screens above the kids.
Mm.
Of course, now, yeah, apparently all you can get kids to look at is screens.
Unless you take him into Disney World and go through It's a Small World.
I wouldn't know. I've never been to Disney World or Disneyland or Disney anything.
You know, there's got to be some YouTube video of It's a Small World out there. And it hasn't changed, I don't think, at all since they opened the park up. Except for they might have added some additional languages and stuff like that. But oh my gosh.
Well, yeah, because they changed it when Russia became 300 little tiny countries, didn't they?
I don't know. You might be right about that, but
I think that was the last big change they made, where they added in like Estonia and Kazakhstan and all those.
It's just, oh my God. It's kind of one of those things that you have to do it. Like if you have kids and you go there,
yeah,
you have to do it. But at the same time, it's like, oh my gosh, once you've done it once, you never want to do it again.
Did you guys talk about Keith David being added to the cast?
No, not that I know of.
Okay. Yes, it wasn't a huge story, but he is, you know, there are people that definitely like him as an actor, so I saw that. And then, oh, what was it? I found a thing for Makawari boards. Water board.
What was he added to?
Yeah. The cast of New Warriors. He's going to be a civilian that the story didn't really seem to have much detail. It said he's going to be like a public worker that bumps into the new warriors and their youthful exuberance.
His IMDb has just a huge. Check it out.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, the dude's been in tons of stuff.
276 credits.
Wow.
Holy.
Yeah, I was going to bring it up on ATGN as a joke because me and Chris both watched all of The Cape, and I actually own The Cape on DVD. And he was the leader of the criminal carnival in that show. They weren't called that, but whatever they were called.
Of course, he's in Halo. But
yeah, and what was it? He just did.
He played Nick Fury in Marvel Heroes video game.
Yeah, and he was another voice too for something else really cool that just happened now. I can't remember. Dang it! I just read the article.
That's a fact. Yeah.
It wasn't that.
I know. I'm just going through the list here.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, he was in Platoon.
He was.
The Sing.
I haven't gotten there yet.
What was it? Oh, because there was something that was huge when I saw it. Oh, yeah. He was the voice of Sulivar in the Flash TV show. Mm-hmm. The big, the white gorilla that actually ruled Gorilla City.
He was in ER for a season.
Nope. Yeah, his IMDb is insane. The dude's been working constantly for, what, like 40 years?
I don't know. I'm 10 years into it right now.
Yeah.
Chronicles of Riddick.
See, scrolling all the way down. Yeah, his Spider-Man. His first credit is Disco Godfather. He was a club patron uncredited in 1979. So he started working in films the year after I was born. So 38 years he's been in movies.
He was in The Replacements. Armageddon. General Kimsey. That's probably
his. A bunch of fools I wouldn't trust with a potato gun. Roadhouse. He was in Roadhouse.
Really?
Yeah.
He was in the Fantastic Four TV series. He played Black Panther.
Oh, nice. Yeah, he's got a great voice. He was in the Young Indiana Jones.
I just saw that.
That's awesome.
Roadhouse, you said.
Yeah, his IMDb is insane.
Mr. Rogers' Neighborhood. Oh my gosh.
Oh, yeah, I do. In 97 to 99, he was the voice of Spawn in the Spawn cartoon on HBO.
Let's see, what does he produce? Yeah. No. He's a composer. Wow. So his first credited actor is 1980. He was uncredited in 1979. So
yeah.
80, 90, 2000, 2010. Yeah, almost 40 years. 37 years of working.
Wait, and his third thing was The Thing.
Yeah.
The third project he worked on is one of the greatest cult films of all time. One of the best sci-fi movies of all time.
Really? I've never seen The Thing.
You've never seen John Carpenter's The Thing?
Well, SP. It's a horror, though, right?
It's a horror, but you'll appreciate just the fact that the special effects still stand up today. Mm. And it's an alien that can mimic anything it touches. Mm-hmm. And so it's always changing shape. And so that's why it's kind of a locked room murder mystery, because it happens in the, I can't remember if it's the Arctic or the Antarctic. So they're all locked inside of a building, but they don't know which one of them is the creature, because the creature can literally touch somebody, become them, and replace them. And yeah, the special effects, almost, I think like 99% of it was done practically. And so, like, if you watch it now on like a high res DVD, it, you know, you can see gaps a little bit. You can see, you know, what stuff's fake and what stuff's not. But when you think about the fact that it was created in 1982, it holds up extremely well.
Mr. and Mrs. Smith, he was father in Mr. and Mrs. Smith.
Nice, yeah. Dude's got a heck of a record.
Hey, Haley.
Hey, sorry, I forgot what day of the week it was.
Just because you're able to drink a lot.
No, it's the long weekend. It messed me up. It felt like second Saturday more than Sunday.
You can muckawari our way out?
You don't think Starpike can say that, do you?
Broadcast has been successfully terminated.
Legends of S.H.I.E.L.D. is copyright 2017.